Father, we just thank you that we can come into your presence, your holy presence this morning, Lord, knowing that you want to connect so deeply and intimately with every single one of your children. Father, I thank you that we can leave the distractions of last week and the week that's coming up. We can leave it at the door, Lord. Help us, Holy Spirit, to focus on what you want to establish in our lives this day, Lord. Open up our hearts and drop your wisdom and your truth. Holy Spirit, you're the only one who can make the truth alive. And we trust in you, Lord, for a divine interpretation this morning. We thank you, Lord, that you want to use each one of us very powerfully in this room, Lord. Father, we want to give you all the glory and all the honor. We take nothing for ourselves, Lord. We are mere instruments in your hand. So we thank you that we can revolve around the cross, the resurrection, and the return of our King. Amen. Amen. Okay, this morning's message, as was put up earlier, is the greatest of them all. Now, what does it mean to be great? What does it mean to be great? I believe that no one in this room was made for mediocrity. No one was put on this earth to do nothing, or be nothing, or accomplish nothing. You were put on this earth to be the greatest you that you can be. There's a famous saying, a quote, it goes, "I am the greatest." Some of you, I hope she hasn't put it up yet, some of you may remember who said that, "I am the greatest." It was Muhammad Ali. I see Danny. There he is. "I am the greatest." Now, wouldn't you like to say that about something in your life? He said it about his boxing career. Wouldn't you like to say, "I am the greatest," with something in your life? But how many of you have given up on the idea of becoming truly great at something? Somehow, the enemy has crawled into your mind and said, "He can be great, but I can't. She can do it, but I can't." You gave up on the idea of being great. Now, the big mistake is that most people make is that greatness has been twisted. People get it completely wrong, what it is to be great. And I want to give you three examples of that. Hang on while I take a sip. I want to give you three examples of how the world has got it wrong. If you go to the Johannesburg Stock Exchange and say, "How do I become great?" The JSE is going to say to you, "Make money and lots of it." If you go to 10 Downing Street in London, that's where the Prime Minister lives, for those who don't know. If you go to 10 Downing Street and you say, "How do I become great?" They're going to say, "Gain political power and lots of it." If you go to Hollywood in Los Angeles and you ask them, "How do you become great?" I'm looking at Leonidas, our current star, our local star who's in a movie. So if you ask Hollywood, "How do you become great?" they're going to say, "Gain fame and lots of it." Now, you see, whenever we call someone great, we normally evaluate it in two ways, in terms of accumulation or in terms of accomplishment. Now, in other words, if someone has accumulated a lot of stuff, they're rich, they have the private jet, they got the fancy car, they got the big home, they got the big watch, the expensive wardrobe, more money than they can spend in five lifetimes, we say they are great. Or if someone accomplishes a great deal in their lives, for example, if they become president, if they win 7 gold medals at the Olympics, they win Oscars, if they win the Nobel Peace Prize, if they are nominated and win Springbok of the Year, we say they are great. The world we live in measures greatness in materialistic terms. How much? How big? How many? That's how most people think. And I've probably described most people in this room. Let me encourage you though. The way that you measure greatness, the way that I measure greatness, and the way that God measures greatness is completely different. Completely different. Every single one of us can become great in the eyes of God. So before we go any further, I just want to reconfirm something. There's a big difference between doing great and being great. What do I mean when I say that? Let me take Adolf Hitler as an example. Adolf Hitler controlled the whole of Western Europe, from Italy to Spain, up north to the English Channel. He controlled every square kilometer at one point. Now, that's a great accomplishment. Napoleon couldn't even do that. It's a great accomplishment, but not a great person, Adolf Hitler. Do you understand? Jesus said that the greatest people that ever walked the face of the earth, no one will ever hear of. No one will ever notice. They will never get their names in the newspaper. No one will ever ask them for an autograph. They will not make a lot of money. And they won't have any titles to their names. Yet one of these days, they're going to stand before God. And the God of our universe is going to say to them, "You were just great. You were just great." The key thing to remember this morning is that you can choose to be great God's way. You can choose to be great. Greatness is a choice. You can choose to be mediocre. You can choose to be great. Now, where do you think I get this idea from? Luke 7. Jesus is talking to his disciples about John the Baptist. And it's so incredible. In intercession this morning, Robin was singing prophetically about John the Baptist. So thank you, Robin, for confirmation. It made me feel so warm. Thank you, Lord. So Jesus is talking to his disciples about John the Baptist. And in verse 28, Jesus says the following. "I tell you, of all who have ever lived, none is greater than John." Now I want to stop there for a moment. If Jesus says you are great, you are great. Okay? He's saying to his disciples, go back to the beginning of Genesis. Think of anybody you can think of. Name any one of the great men and women of God. Abram, Moses, Elijah, David, Daniel. Think of any of these incredible men. All incredible. But none are greater than John. He said that John was the greatest person that had ever lived. That's a huge compliment coming from Jesus. That's a massive compliment. But then listen carefully to what Jesus says in the very next sentence. "Yet, even the least person in the kingdom of God is greater than he is." Now, some of you may have walked in here this morning and think, "I'm probably the least known member of this church." In fact, some of you may think, "I'm not even a member of this church." You may think, "I'm the least person in this church." But Jesus is saying to you this morning, Jesus is saying to you personally, you can be the greatest. You can be greater than the man John, who I call the greatest man who ever lived until that point. Jesus is saying that the nobodies, the no names of this world, that if they will follow Christ, love God, and live for Him, they will be greater than who Jesus called the greatest man who ever lived. So if you can choose to be great, how do you get there? How do you get there? Now, I know Johnny was teasing me last week about my 3-point sermons, but guess what? You got another 3-point sermon. In order to be great in God's way, you need to do number one, change your approach to life. Change your approach to life. Let's start with Mark 9, verses 33 to 34. After they arrived at Capernaum and settled in a house, Jesus asked his disciples, "What were you discussing out there on the road?" But they didn't answer because they had been arguing about which of them was the greatest. Now the disciples, picture it, the disciples are walking down the road. They don't think that Jesus is paying any attention to them. And they start arguing amongst themselves. They're having a debate. Who is the greatest disciple? And John is like, "I'm the greatest." No, Peter says, no, I'm the greatest. And Bartholomew says, no, I'm the greatest disciple. And Judas says, no, I am the greatest disciple. Now notice, Jesus didn't caution his disciples for wanting to be great. There's nothing wrong with wanting to be great. There's nothing wrong with ambition. There's nothing wrong with setting goals. In fact, I preached on it a couple of weeks ago about setting goals and the value of setting goals in your life. There's nothing wrong with setting standards. If you are a mom or a dad, a parent in this room, you will understand that it's natural to want your kids to be great. It's natural for you to want your children to be successful. Matthew 20:20-21 illustrates this point. Then the mother of Zebedee's sons came to Jesus with her sons and kneeling down, asked a favor of Jesus. "What do you want?" Jesus asked. She said, "Grant that of these two sons of mine, one may sit on your right and the other may sit at your left in your kingdom." I'm sure parents can relate to that. "Hey, pick my son Johnny for the first team. He's a gifted fly half. And one day he's going to play fly half for the Springboks. Pick my son." This mother's no different. She's saying to Jesus, "Jesus, I want my sons to have the place of honor on your left and on your right in your kingdom. I want them to have the good seats, the top billing, the front row. I want them to be well known. In other words, Lord, I want you to make them great." The problem with this kind of thinking, though, there is a problem with this kind of thinking. If you are at the top and you only think about being at the top, there's no room there for anybody else. Jesus says, this is not the way it works. This is not the way it works in God's kingdom. This is not how things operate. However, listen to what happens next in verses 24 to 25. When the 10 heard, that's the other 10 disciples whose mothers weren't there. When the 10 heard about this, they were indignant with the two brothers. The other 10 disciples were outraged at this mother. How dare she ask for those places of honor? Verse 25, Jesus called them together and said, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them." Jesus is saying, look around. Look around at the world that you currently live in, the so-called great Roman Empire. Look at their behavior, how they define greatness, and they lord it over you. They oppress you with their greatness. In our world today, people push and shove for position, for power, for promotion. Jesus says, if you want to be great, you have to change your entire approach to life. Let's continue. Actually, I want to reread 24 and 25. When the 10 heard about this, they were indignant with the two brothers. Jesus called them together and said, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them." Next slide. "Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant." Must be your servant. Everyone gets out of bed and has two choices, two attitudes that you can get out of, leave your house in the morning. The first one is, how can I get someone to serve me today? The other attitude is, how many people can I serve today? If you're looking for the first seat, if you want the first place in the line, if you want to make sure that everyone answers you and that you answer to nobody else, Jesus says, you're never going to be great. Two things keep us from being great, our pride and our busyness. Our pride and our busyness. Some of you are not great because you're too proud to be great. Some of you are not great because you're way too busy to be great. It's a war. There's a war happening in your soul. In your flesh, there's a war. A war between self-centeredness and servanthood. It goes against everything. Everything that we made up with. God's way to greatness is not easy because it goes against our pride. It goes against the fact that we desire to be number one. You've got to come to a point in your life where you see every single person that you meet as more important than yourself. So in order to be great God's way, you have to, number one, change your entire approach to life. And that's a tough one. But number two, change your attitude towards service. Number two, change your attitude towards service. Now, I read this statistic and I'm going to share it with you. It's quite scary. But anyway, a research poll discovered the following. Only 10% of churchgoers are active in any kind of ministry in their church. That's 1 in 10 people. Now, what is even more disturbing is the next statistic. Listen to this. 50%, that's half of this room, 50% of all churchgoers said they have, and I quote, no interest in serving in any ministry of the church. No interest. Earlier we read from Mark 9. And the disciples were discussing who's the greatest of them all. And I'll repeat 33 and 34 so that the next verse will follow on. After they arrived at Capernaum and settled in a house, Jesus asked his disciples, what were you discussing out on the road? But they didn't answer because they had been arguing about which one of them was the greatest. Now, here's Jesus' teachable moment. Verse 35, he sat down, called the 12 disciples over to him and said, whoever wants to be first must take last place and be the servant of everyone else. Man, only Jesus can come up with something like that. Only Jesus can turn human wisdom on its head. Just picture it. Jesus says, hey guys, who wants to be number one? 12 hands shoot up into the air. Wonderful, says Jesus. Awesome news. If you want to be first, go last. If you want to be number one, be number two. If you want to get ahead of everybody else, let them go before you. Speaking of let them go before you, about 8 of us in this congregation went on a mountain bike, and I'm not going to say race, I'm going to call it a challenge, because it was not a race, it was a challenge to finish in one piece. And that was yesterday. Some of us opted for the shorter route, some of us more foolish or just didn't know what they were in for, decided on the longer route. And what happens at the race, I've never been, it's my first race ever. And all the seated people, the guys, the good guys, the pros, they kind of start in batches before you. I mean, the guys who started were about an hour before us. But I was going to the line, and this guy, I mean, he was a pleb like me. I mean, he wasn't a professional. He had no, like, grading or seeding or anything like that. He went screaming for the line and knocked up my pedal and drew blood on the front of my shin. And I was like, jeepers, is this how the race is going to start? It hasn't even started. But what I'm saying is, there were a bunch of us, and we were at the very end. We were at the last of the last. We were just like looking at each other and saying, well, if we last, we can only improve. So, and the thing is, I knew what I was what I'd be preaching on this morning about being great and about servanthood. And I had these flashes in my head the whole time. I was like, okay, bike, am I your servant or are you my servant? And that fluctuated over the 50 kilometers. That fluctuated. I'm your servant. No, you're my servant. But it was fun. And I started to understand a few things as well. Some very practical things. Why bikers shave their legs. I fell very hard. And praise God, no permanent damage. Just a few bruises that only my wife can look at. Shaving legs, practical. I mean, your hairs get caught in where it like rips and stuff. Yeah. So shave your legs. And I must thank my brother, where is he? Oh, Hein. Gave me some awesome advice. Put suntan lotion on, but not near your eyes. Thank you for that. Drink water, but I drank it too quickly. I almost dehydrated out there. There were people spilled over. I mean, it was really hot yesterday. I don't know if you were out and about. There were people spilled over, drips in their arms, and the ambulances getting revived and stuff. But we made it, all of us. We all made it. Yeah. So don't see serving as something that you have to do. See serving as something that you choose to do. Remember I said you choose to be great? Choose to serve. Don't see service as something you expect others to give you, but service is something you choose to give others. Stop being consumed with how many people meet your needs and start being consumed with how many needs you can meet in the lives of other people. Jesus himself was passionate about serving. And he was saying to the disciples, if there's anything I do, I'm going to teach you to be servants. I'm going to make servants out of you. Here's the problem though. The disciples wanted to be made stars, but Jesus had a different plan. He was going to make them servants. Jesus goes on to explain in Matthew 20, 27 and 28, and whoever wants to be first among you, you must become your slave. Same theme coming through. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve others and to give his life as a ransom for many. I'm going to repeat that, verse 28. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve others and to give his life as a ransom for many. The Son of God, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, the one who we call Savior, Jesus, the one person who deserved to be served, says, I did not come here to be served. I came here to serve. Greatness is not found at the front of the line. It's found at the back of the line. So I guess I can say, like Muhammad Ali, I'm the greatest mountain biker in Franschhoek. Greatness is found in the job that no one else wants to do. Greatness is found in the worst seat in the house. I'd like to read a quote I came across the other day. I couldn't find who wrote it, but whoever it is, hope you get credit. So we'll call it an anonymous author for now. Listen very carefully to what he said. Christ-likeness leads to servanthood. Servanthood is not slavery. Servanthood is voluntary, motivated from within by the love of God. Servanthood is not mandated by style, insistence, or manipulation, or suppression, pressure, guilt, or demand. Servanthood is not cultish, but Christ-like. Service should always be done in the spirit of Him who, being endowed with heaven's complete authority, chose to take the form of a servant. Beautiful. We must realize life is more about others than ourselves. We must have a servant heart. We must have a servant spirit. We must have a servant attitude. So God can look at you and say, You, my son, you, my daughter, are just great. So how do we become great God's way? Number one, change your approach to life. Number two, change your attitude towards service. And number three, change your action towards others. The world says, if you want to become great, become a star. Jesus says, if you want to become great, become a servant. The world says, if you want to become great, see how many people can serve you. God says, if you want to become great, see how many people you can serve. Now I want to close, and I'm going to actually ask the ushers to bring out the communion elements, if that's okay. I'm going to close with a clip, and I know my point three wasn't very long, but that's because this clip is actually going to bring it all together. And I know some of you have seen it before, and if you have seen it before, it's good to see it again. If you haven't seen it before, I pray, God, that you will just open people's hearts to see the message here behind what is actually going on. So while David gets ready, the ushers will hand out the elements. This clip perfectly illustrates the point I'm trying to make. Change your actions towards others. Change your actions towards others. This morning we're going to partake in communion. I'm going to let you do it in your own time. We're going to take the next few minutes, and I'm not going to say anything, and we're going to ask, just trust the Lord to speak to you about what's on His heart for you and your life. So this is a moment between you and God. God is so good. And I know He knows each one of you individually. I'm just going to ask you to just close your eyes. He knows each one of you individually. I thank you, Lord, that you have shown us what's on your heart for us. Lord, if there's anyone that hasn't heard from you or is not clear, Lord, I pray that this week you'll make it very obvious to them what you're after. Father, we need your help to become great in your eyes. It's so hard, and it goes against our fleshly nature to treat everyone else more importantly than ourselves. But we thank you that we can be shaped and led by your Holy Spirit, and that we can start to see the world as you see it. Open up the eyes of our heart this day and allow us to see the world and your children as you see them, Lord. As we have just covenanted with you through communion, we ask that you change our approach with regards to service. You change our approach to life. You change our attitude towards service. You change our actions towards other people. Just out of gratitude for what you have done for us, Lord, we'll be more than happy to do whatever you ask. If you'll stand with me. I'm going to ask you to repeat after me as well. Show me, Lord, where I can serve in your kingdom. Show me, Lord, where I can serve in this ministry. Show me, Lord, where I can serve you in our community. Show me, Lord, where I can serve you in my home, my family, and my marriage. Show me, Lord, where I can serve your people. Give me the strength and obedience to follow through with all the opportunities to serve. That you are faithful to bring into my life. Lord Jesus Christ, when you died on the cross, for sins you did not commit, you performed the ultimate act of service. Lord Jesus, you served others with your death. Show me how much more I should be serving others with my life. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that this word today, Lord, will never return void. And Father, that you have prepared the hearts of every single man and woman that has arrived here today, Lord, to receive this word, Lord. Lord, we trust you. We are mere sowers of seed, Lord. You are the only one who can grow those seeds into righteous trees of life. So, Lord, just like the clip we saw, Father, open up our eyes completely, Lord, to see people, to see beyond the flesh. Give us discernment of spirits, Lord. Use us, Father God, as instruments in your kingdom. Use our mouths to be your words. Use our feet to go to the places you need us to be. Use our hands to touch. Use our arms to hug. Father, use us in any way you want. We just want to be obedient to you. We want to stand before you one day and hear the words, "You were just great." In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.